Be one more time. As we turn to the Word of God, Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7 and verse 2. One main theme that I want to draw from this particular verse that we will take a look at here today. Judges 7 and verse 2, the story of Gideon and the effort that they had to put forth to preserve the people of Israel. The Lord God said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many." And we remember how many there are. There's too few. Far too less. But the Lord said, "There are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." In other words, I did it myself. I got it done on my own. I didn't need anyone, anything. I did it. God said, that's not the way it's going to work. Amen. And thank God he has the answer. You may be seated. Now, we remember the details of this story. Gideon's army initially numbered 32,000. And that sounds like a pretty good number, a huge number, and that is going to go forth in battle. But compared to the army of the enemy, it was not enough. It was too small, too few. But yet the Lord said, there's too many. Now, he could have said, fear not. I know you're going against insurmountable odds, but don't worry. He could have said that. He could have said, be of good courage, for I am with you. And all kinds of things that would lift them up. But he didn't say that. He said, you got too many. What a strange set of circumstances. So he reduced the army by telling those who were fearful to go home. And 22,000 left. Only got 10,000 left, which is impossible, one-third of what he started out with, less than one-third. Then he further reduced it by a water test. Sometimes that's a pretty incredible test. You want to get in the water in Jesus' name or not? You want to do it the Bible way or not? Amen. A water test. 9,700 were sent home as a result of failing the water test. So he's left with 300, less than 1% of his original army. Really sounds like impossible circumstances now. But here's what God said in verse 7 of that chapter that we read in Judges 7. Verse 7, the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped the water, they were diligent, they were watchful. By the 300 men will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand and let all the other people go, every man, unto his place. An army of 300 against the odds that were arrayed against them? Well, sounds pretty impossible. But notice what the Lord said, I will save you. I will. I'm going to be the one who does that work. So he gave them the plan of attack. Each man received a trumpet. Each one had a torch. And they were told to shout at a given signal about the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That sounds like sure death instead of sure victory. It sounds like they were going to be indeed wiped out. And I wonder if those 300 were confused about the plan, wondering, how is this going to work? What do you mean, a trumpet and a torch and a shout that we're supposed to give? Well, as they followed the plan of God, they weren't the ones that were confused. The confusion came to the camp of the enemy. And the Bible says, all the host ran. This is talking about the enemy now. All the host ran and cried and fled. Moreover, the description goes on to say, the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. They began fighting among themselves. That was the confusion that came into the camp. Because the people of God obeyed his plan and recognized, we can't save ourselves. We're not going to be able to gain victory. We're not going to be able to get the answer. We've got to do it God's way. Amen. And then all of Israel gathered for the battle and the victory. And God saved Israel almost by impossible means, by a ridiculous battle plan. But they couldn't save themselves, and the Lord brought salvation. Now, let me use that idea of not saving themselves and apply that to Jesus. He didn't save himself. He gave himself. Oh, he saved others. He sure did. He saved a cripple from never walking. He saved the blind from never seeing. He saved lepers from being isolated from their families. He saved the hungry from fainting. He saved Peter from drowning. Praise God. But he didn't save himself. He gave himself. He saved from helplessness and hopelessness. He saved from depression and discouragement. He saved from dreariness and despair. He saved from demons and destruction. He saved from death and corruption. Thank God he has power to do that kind of work even today. The gospel message, the gospel story is powerful and wonderful and faith-building. But thank God we recognize the Lord today does those kinds of miracle works. The Lord today can minister his healing and his power. The Lord today can deliver from drugs and depression. The Lord today can deliver from disease and sickness. Thank God that the Lord knows how to bring about that kind of change. Because he didn't save himself. He didn't save himself from humiliation and accusation. He said, I have to. I must go through Samaria. Others avoided it. They went a long ways around because of the prejudice and discrimination that was evident in the lives of people in that day. But he ministered to that woman at the well. He ministered to the whole city, and everyone recognized how powerful he was. He ate at a Pharisee's house. The disdain and the criticism that was aimed against him because a woman came and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, and she anointed his feet with ointment from an alabaster box. And the Pharisee criticized him in his mind and in his heart, saying if he were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman she is, and he wouldn't let her touch him. But Jesus said, her sins are forgiven. He said, her faith has saved her, and he said, go in peace. I'm glad that Jesus is able to give the answer and able to provide. Praise God. He did not save himself from rough seas and strong winds. He was asleep in the boat, and the fearful disciples awoke him, asking, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we're about to sink in this storm? But Jesus arose and replaced the great storm with a great calm when he said, peace be still. Oh, I'm so thankful. He can come to our hearts. He can come to our minds. He can come in our situations and bring that peace. Amen. He can say, peace be still, and provide that means of blessing for us today and work in such a wonderful way. He didn't stop himself from being arrested. He could have. He called Judas friend when Judas was betraying him. He could have called him so many other things. He displayed his power when he said, "I am." And the guard that was sent to arrest him fell backwards. Simply because of that powerful statement, "I am." Identifying himself as the Almighty God. Amen. But he didn't resist the arrest. He endured the mistreatment physically. He endured the mistreatment emotionally. And certainly the travesty of justice that went on that night, he did not save himself. He endured the cross, the Bible says, and ignored the shame that was there. 6 hours of nonstop suffering as he hung upon that cross. And all the mockery, all the taunting, all the scoffing, "Save yourself," they said. "You've saved others. We've seen you work miracles. We know that you can do it. Come on down from the cross. Save yourself." But he didn't. Even though the bystanders hurled that up at him, "Save thyself and come down from the cross." The chief priests and the scribes likewise, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save." The thieves that were crucified on either side of him said the same thing. All that mockery, all that scoffing. But he didn't save himself so that you and I could be saved. So that you and I could know salvation. So that you and I could know forgiveness. So that you and I could know how wonderful it is to stand in a church service and give our praise and our worship to the Lord, and his wonderful presence come sweeping through and do a work in our lives and in our hearts, more than just the excitement, more than just the emotion, but the Lord doing a work in our lives that is powerful. Praise God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's why he didn't save himself, because his blood had to be shed so that you and I could have our sins remitted in the waters of baptism in his precious name. Thank God we can be baptized in the saving name of Jesus. That's why he didn't save himself. The church was bought with blood. Not with silver or gold. Not because the Lord simply snapped his fingers and said, "This is how it's going to be." No, he fulfilled his word with a blood sacrifice, the precious blood of Christ. And that's why Paul would write, "You are bought with a price." His sacrifice. His sacrifice provided redemption through his blood, the Bible says. The forgiveness of sins. He made peace through his blood. The everlasting covenant of his blood is what was taking place that day. That's why he didn't save himself. Praise God. And the promise of the word of God that his spirit would be poured out after he was glorified, after he came forth in the resurrection, after the tomb was empty. Praise God. He let them know that there would be the outpouring of his spirit, that they which believe on him should receive. If you're believing as the scripture has said, out of your innermost being can flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the spirit, the Bible says, which they that believe on him should receive. Amen. And oh, thank God, the Spirit was poured out in a tremendous way. And we read the account in Acts chapter 2. They were all in one place in one accord, and the Spirit of God began to move. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I'm glad it came from heaven. Not by man's ideas, not by man's thoughts, man's program and plan. God sent his Spirit from heaven. Praise God. And they began to speak in languages that they didn't understand, but others could understand what they were saying. The wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for that power. And then Peter answered the question when they asked, "What shall we do?" The answer was very plain and simple. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. By my count, Peter preached 612 words. In the King James Version, anyway. 612 words on the day of Pentecost. That some would be happy with that short a message. I preach short all the time. Praise God. All right, I'm watching the clock. Way more than 612 words so far. Some wanted short on preaching, but long on blessing. Hey, it works together. It works together. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But he preached with many other words. And the main message was, save yourself. Now, wait a minute. We just got done going through example after example of how the Lord said, you can't save yourself. I'm going to save you. And now Peter is concluding his message by saying, save yourself? Yes, because the plan has been given. The divine design has been made known. And that's how you access the blessing and the power of God. Save yourself, he said, from this untoward generation. We don't use that word untoward very often in modern language. It simply means crooked. It means corrupt, perverse, wicked, unjust. Sounds pretty close to the generation that we live in. All of the things that are happening, all the things that are going on, the principles being changed, things being cast out that stood for centuries, and changes taking place, and people not being honest, situations not being legal, all the different things that happen in our generation. Save yourself from that generation. I'm glad the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word. They gladly received his word. They didn't challenge it. They didn't try to qualify it. They didn't want to put in their two cents. They didn't try to just excuse their beliefs and their ideas. They gladly received his word, and they were baptized. And 3,000 of them stepped up and said, I believe it. I'm going to do something about applying the plan of the Lord. They gladly received it. And I think they only got gladder, more glad, however you want to say it. Praise God. It increased. It didn't decrease. It didn't become a load and a burden. It became a blessing and power in their lives. So the scripture says, work out your own salvation. Philippians 2 and 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean we devise a new plan. That doesn't mean we come up with our own solution. That means we follow the divine plan with fear and trembling, because we don't want to miss it. We don't want to mess it up, because there's no other answer if we do. There's no other way. There's no other provision. The Lord puts it forth, and that's what we desire to do. Amen. Praise God. Important to work out your own salvation. Important to put on your own seatbelt. Important to wear your own life jacket. Important, if you're a paratrooper, to wear your own parachute. Skydiving. My goodness, jump out of a perfectly good airplane. Doesn't make any sense to me. But you better have that parachute on. And you better know how to use it. I talked to Brother Bartlett about the practice that oil workers, the ones that work on the platform and so on, oil workers go through on how to get out of a helicopter if it crashes. That's how they get back and forth, the platform and their landing site out there, whatever it's called. They practice getting out of the helicopter upside down, sideways, right side up, and they're underwater. They are underwater. But they have to practice doing that. Now imagine Brother Bartlett sitting in that model cabin of a helicopter, just his arms folded as they're sinking down in the pool, saying, well, I'm going to wait for somebody to get me. I'm going to wait for somebody to come and get me out of here. That would ruin the whole purpose of the practice, as well as change things for him in a drastic way. No, he's undoing his seatbelt. He's looking for the latch on the emergency exit. He's kicking his way out of there to the surface and ready to do it again. this time upside down, or this time sideways, or whatever the practice required. You've got to do it yourself. Now, they had a plan. They didn't just say, let's see how you can get out of here. You're going to be underwater. No, they told them what to do. They told them what to expect. They told them how to reach for the latch and remove the window and get themselves out of their seat and swim up to the top and so on. They had a plan. In the same way, God gives you a plan in His Word. We know what His Word declares, and we have to save yourself. Oh, I'm thankful we can repent and be forgiven. I'm thankful we can be baptized in the name of Jesus and have our sins remitted. I'm thankful we can have the infilling of His Spirit and know there's power within you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And there is power that the Lord gives to us in that regard. Praise God. Now here's a real important scripture. 2 Corinthians 1 and 9. Real important for us to get what the apostle is trying to tell us here. 2 Corinthians 1 and 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We couldn't do it. Can't get it done. All the self-help books, all the motivational books, I enjoy reading them. I like to say all those phrases and all those good things, you know, plan your work your plan, all of that kind of stuff. That's oh yeah, let's go. Let's forget where we put the plan. And then wonder, let's see here, I wrote it down now, where did I put it? A lot of good things that we find in that. But doesn't come to anything because we have the sentence of death in ourselves. We are dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 says. That's the problem. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Oh, He's more than qualified. He's more than able. He knows how to put it back together. He knows how to make it work again. He knows how to bring life. He knows how to impart that blessing and peace and strength. He knows how to fix you. Praise God. That's why we trust Him. That's why we obey Him. That's why we walk with Him in accordance to His Word. And you hath He quickened. Quickened means to impart life, to give life. He makes us alive by His Spirit, and we trust Him because He raised the dead. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful that we know He brings life. We know He brings power. We know He brings peace. We know He brings goodness. And the Bible, moreover, says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that quickened, there's that word again, quickened, gave life, He that quickened Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise God. That's why we trust Him. That's why we reach for Him. That's why we desire His power and His presence. Praise God. Would you stand with me today? He makes us alive. He gives us life. He provides His power and His blessing. And He makes known His goodness again and again. Thank the Lord, that's what we can receive. Now, His Spirit makes us alive here and now. His death, His burial, His resurrection is fulfilled in our lives as we die out to our old lifestyle through repentance. I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me. Please change me. We're buried in the waters of baptism in His precious name. And then we receive His Spirit. Praise God. In resurrection. Such a simple plan. If God wanted to make it complicated that only Einstein or somebody like that could understand it, He would do that. But He didn't. He didn't. He made it so simple that even a child could understand. This is what we got to do. Repent, be baptized, receive His Spirit. Praise God. And thank the Lord, these children that are praying around here today, they've experienced that. They know how powerful it is. They know how wonderful it is. They don't have to go out in the world and taste the things of this world of sin and debauchery just to say, well, I tried it and it doesn't work. I'm going to go back to church. Oh, and stay right where they belong and get more from the Lord. Get more from the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. His Spirit makes us alive here and now. And then, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, amen, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Because His Spirit makes us alive. Oh, I want to make sure I'm ready for that day. I want to make sure I'm not going to miss out. I want to make sure I'm saving myself by God's plan. Not because I've got a great idea. Not because I'm strong enough within myself to do it. Not because I've got what it takes. No, I'm going to obey His plan and follow through on what He declares. Praise God. I invite you to come and pray today. We've got a few minutes here. The presence of God has been visiting us, moving upon us, touching us. I think it would be good if we came and just spent a few minutes in prayer here today and let the Lord bless us and let the Lord touch us. Let Him minister in our hearts and in our lives. Let Him touch our bodies. Let Him encourage our spirits. Praise God. That's the work He can do. That's the blessing He can provide. Amen. Let's begin to just call on the Lord together right now. And wherever you are, standing at the pew, sitting, let the Lord minister to you. Let the Lord help you today. Praise God. And let His blessing come forth as we call upon Him. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord together. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes.